morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's great to see you. And for those who are listening, it's great to have you with us as well, worshipping the Lord together. Thank you that you all made it. Great.
Yeah, awesome.
You've all got your galoshes out and your umbrellas. You've got your floaties as well. It's been quite a challenge, hasn't it, over the last couple of days? It's so good to be able to meet together and to listen to God's word. And we've been learning so much from Peter, chapter 1 and 2. And we've learned a lot. We're going to hear more about what Peter has to say to us today in chapter 3. He's urging believers to seek and focus on the truth of the gospel. We have to be faithful to the gospel, faithful to God's word, and to be aware of false teachers and their teachings and the fruit that they bear. And we'll know them by their fruit, and it certainly won't be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to finish his letter as he's marching on towards his last days on earth. And it's wonderful to know that through all the difficulties Peter's had, that there is hope, there is victory in the cross of Jesus and by his death and resurrection. So today we're going to start our service with the first song. Oh yes, you may sing, I've just been reminded, by Little Masks. With your masks on, you may sing and join in this song together. So if everybody wants to grab their mask, Trevor and Stephen are handing out some masks as we speak. If you've forgotten to get a mask, you want to put a hand up to let him know. And you at home, oh, you lucky ducks, you get to sing without a mask. So you don't have to worry about a mask. Right? Michael. So if you would like to stand and join in with the musos, we're going to sing about our beautiful Saviour. Who's singing?
Fountain of delights.
Would you please be seated? We're very fortunate this morning to have gathered with us Cameron and Lara and her family, the Blairs, who are working in with refugees in the West, in the Inner West, And so we're going to hear more from them today. And so that's a wonderful opportunity for us to know what's happening. And I hope we're all encouraged too by what God is doing out there. We've come together to meet with God and take part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. We're now going to hear from God's word, and before we do, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Stuart is going to come and bring the reading.
Good morning, everyone. We are continuing on with 2 Peter. We are now up to chapter 3, and we'll be covering verses 1 to 18. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. "Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
As we hear more and more and remember more and more what we believe, please stand with me as we affirm our faith in Christ Jesus in the words from Colossians. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church, and good morning, Cameron. It's great to have you amongst us here today. If you're new or visiting, oh, Lara's up the back. Hi, Lara. Good to see you. Welcome. If you're new or visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. And if you're listening in on our website to our services and sermons, welcome to you as well. It's great to... We're a people here at Abbotsford Anglican who are desiring to live life God's way and to grow in relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word as Tina's prayed. We thank you for it being read to us as Stuart has. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that your spirit will guide us and help me to teach your word correctly. And may we experience him guiding us into truth, encouraging us and strengthening us to live godly lives in these last days as we wait patiently for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to return and take us home. What a glorious day that will be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So open up your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Today we actually conclude our little sermon series through 2 Peter. And we've been thinking about what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so let's just do a quick little recap of the two chapters that we've looked at beforehand already. The first heading of chapter 1, Peter was encouraging the church to progress in the truth. And the truth is to know the truth, and the truth, and to be confident of the truth. And the truth is Jesus. Remember, Peter asked that question with his disciples, with the other disciples, to Jesus, with Thomas there. How can we know the way to live? How can we know the way home? How can we know the way to be with you? And Jesus said to his disciples there, and Peter was there in the ear, listening in. Peter, I am Thomas, disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter knows that Jesus is the truth, and so he wants the church to know the truth and to be confident of the truth. It's important to get Jesus right. Trust those who are eyewitnesses, he says. Trust the proof of the Old Testament prophets. Why? Because then in chapter 2, he says, there will be false teachers among you. And in chapter 2, we were reminded to persevere through this peril. It's such a perilous thing and a sad thing that even amongst in the church, there will be those who will teach us untruths about the things of Jesus, about the things of God, who will sway away from the teaching of the Bible alone. And so Peter in chapter 2 says, remember, this is to be expected. Don't panic, don't stress out, don't freak out, it's to be expected. Be aware of their danger, of their motives and methods. They could be anyone. They offer nothing. They'll be judged, condemned, and punished. But rest, you who are faithful, rest in the confidence of God's safety. Know what to do with them. Observe, avoid, trust them to God and protect each other. And be careful of unknowingly or knowingly becoming a false teacher ourselves. Remember the little book, Tootle, all right? The Christian life is like being, it's not like driving a car where you can go anywhere you like, but the Christian life is staying on the rails, staying on God's rails no matter what. And so we come to chapter 3 today, persist with patience. 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 We'll talk about patience, weren't we, Tina, early before church? Patience is a virtue, isn't it? So we're told. And a gift of the Spirit. We who are Christians know that it is a gift from God, patience. But how often have we prayed, Lord, give me patience, but quick, all right? Give me patience. What's that, Brian? Give me patience, but quick. Or we've been in a hurry and we've put the dinner in the microwave and we've pressed the buttons and then we've stood there looking into the microwave waiting for our dinner as it goes around and around saying, these things take forever. Patience. Patience is a virtue. It's a gift of God's Spirit. But how patient are we really? I wonder if we were honest with each other, we'd agree there've been times when we've become impatient with God. I know I have. I'm sure if we're honest, we've all been a little bit impatient with God. For example, does Christ's delay in returning frustrate you? Are we impatient for justice to prevail over all? For there to be no more wrong, no more evil, no more sin, only that which is right and that which is good. Do you long for heaven, as our first song reminded us of? Do you long to be with the Lord? Does Christ's delay in returning frustrate you? Are there times when we have become impatient with God? Take me home now. Come now, Lord Jesus. God tells us in his word to be patient. In James chapter 5, verse 8, we read, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. God himself tells us to be patient. We heard it in our reading this morning. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. As we heard read, because God is patient with us, we too need to be patient. As we heard read, he's not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, because the Lord's coming is near. Be that it is, impatience for Christ's return, I think, isn't a bad thing. It proves we love God, I think, and have come to believe life his way is the way we ought and long to live forever. We might be impatient for our Lord's return, but I gather the majority of people in the world are not, sadly. Christianity, knowing Jesus, the gospel, heaven and hell, the things of God, getting right with God and Christ's return aren't important to the majority of people in the world. God's word before us this morning will remind us that they have deliberately chosen to forget the truth of God and refuse to allow themselves to see the logic and reasonableness of a life lived his way. Such is the world that we live in. I guess if I could convince a number of marketing and public relations experts to tell me what would Jesus need to do to promote himself to ensure that his return visit would be a success, that people would take notice of Christ, I guess I get something like this from them. He must come back as the new Jesus, a strong leader, able to deliver, good-looking and attractive, good in front of the camera, a real people pleaser. He should participate in a sport that helps profile, that helps raise his profile and the qualities that he has. A soccer would be perfect. A few miracle goals here and there wouldn't go amiss. He'd have to bring an end to all sickness and all wars. He'd have to get on with all faiths, genders and political persuasions and move comfortably in a secular world. He should still dress in white sandals and be bearded. Television coverage would like that religious look. But he definitely has to drop coming in judgment and absolutely no mention of hell and speaking nothing of only a few people going back with him to heaven. Above all, the new Jesus must come across as relevant as we perceive relevant. Someone people want. A person worthy of people giving up their time and effort to take him seriously. I'll just say that last little bit again. A person worthy of people giving up their time and effort to take him seriously. In the final chapter of 2 Peter, God explains what Jesus' return will be. And it's interesting to note how different it will be to that of the advice of my marketing and public relations experts. Whereas my experts may be full of ideas about what Jesus will have to do when he comes back, God is much more interested in telling us what we have to do in order to get ready for Jesus. Jesus is the important one, not us. When Jesus comes back, it won't be a matter of him changing to suit us. It will be a matter of whether or not we have changed to suit him. What we are to be doing in preparation as proof and confidence of our change and a safeguard against sleepingly drifting into thinking like the majority is the focus of the last chapter of 2 Peter. Here are 8 things Peter tells us to do in summary. Verses 1-2. Recall. Be a people who are recalling always what God says in his word, the Bible. The truth of the matters pertaining to the things of God are found only in what God himself has said to us. God's word is to be trusted in these matters. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Recall. Verses 3-7. Understand. Understand that people in these last days will mock God's word. It is offensive and it grieves us, but it's normal and it's to be expected. And it's proof, sadly, of their deserving of judgment. For they know what God requires of them, but note what Peter says. Even though they know, they deliberately forget. Don't let their self-impressed wisdom undermine our confidence in God. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. scoffers, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Understand. Verses 8 to 10. Don't you forget. Don't you forget. Don't forget. God has set a day to judge the world. God doesn't need an alarm clock or Google Calendar to remind him of that day. God will act despite our perceived delay of Christ's return. Remember, the reason for the delay is that God is being patient with people. Be patient also. God is waiting to save those he will save, and God will do this in his time, not ours. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Don't you forget. Verse 11, live and rest. Live and rest as those who have been saved and will be saved. That's the reassurance for us as Christians. As we wait, rest in the knowledge that we have been made holy, we have been made right with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We belong to God. We are saved and saved by God. Live now for God and live for the kingdom. Verses 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Verses 12 to 14. As it says, look forward. Look forward to that day God will judge the world. Look forward to the day of God's judgment, for it is the day of Christ's return. And the day of Christ's return is the day of our resurrection. It is the day we impatiently but patiently are longing for, and rightly longing for. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt with the heat, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Verse 15, evangelize. Verse 15, evangelize the unsaved. Let them know how to be right with God, and remind those who are right with God that they are saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Remember, our perceived delay in Christ's return is the Lord's patience with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to have the opportunity to come to repentance. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we allowing ourselves and looking forward to opportunities to share the gospel with someone who is yet to know Jesus? Is that a daily thought, a weekly thought that we have that we're prepared to do? Or is there a brother or sister that we know needs reassuring? Are we ready each day to encourage a brother or a sister to know that they are saved by the person and work of Jesus? Verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul has wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Verses 16 and 17. Be on your guard, though. As we wait, be on your guard. Be on your guard against the deception and danger of those who speak untruths of God, the mockers, the world, those who speak of an easier way to live life God's way other than God's word has said. They may think that they're doing themselves and us a favour, and their simple, universally accepted logic may seem very persuasive. But distorting God's word to suit their own thinking does us and themselves no favour. Paul writes the same way in his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. And finally, verse 18, be found growing. Growing things we know are living things, right? Be found growing. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and the one who has saved you. It's no surprise that Peter ends his letter here with the same words that he begins it. Knowledge of Jesus, knowing Christ, now and for all eternity, gives us everything we need for life and God living. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So what has God taught us through 2 Peter? Verse 1, I think, of chapter 2 of 2 Peter. Dear friends, this is now my second letter, Peter writes to us. I have written them both to stimulate you to wholesome thinking, right thinking, godly thinking in these last days, as we patiently, impatiently wait for Christ's return. As we wait for Christ's return, progress in truth. Persevere through the peril and persist with patience. And if I could leave on tootles, stay on the rails no matter what. Heavenly Father, cause us daily to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Carry on from Peter. We're going to be singing the words of Peter. All that we need, and that is what we have: God, his grace, his Holy Spirit, and Jesus. How wonderful that is. So would you please stand, pop your mask on. Please stand if you want to sing, that is, and join with us in All That We Need.
seated.
I'd like to invite Cameron up, and welcome Cameron, Lara. Now, I understand, I think a good number of you would know these two people a lot better than I do, but it is great to have you with us today and just raising our awareness of the work that you're doing. So, welcome. Welcome to Abbotsford Anglican. Welcome to St. Andrew's again.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good. It's great. Well, I'll hand over to you, and there's the slides, and here's, tell us about your work and that we might be mindful and supportive.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's so lovely to see you all again. I do recognise so many faces. So, I just can't see Audrey. Hi, Audrey. I missed you. Oh, it's so lovely. Thank you so much for having us back. It's so, so lovely to be here. We've come back from Cambodia, and the kids have grown up. They're a lot bigger now. They're not that little. So since we've come back from Cambodia, we've been continuing to work with pioneers, with a mission team actually in southwest Sydney called Summit. And Summit seeks to reach refugees for Christ. So Summit stands for Serving, Understanding, Mentoring, Migrants in Transition. So that's what Summit stands for. According to the UNCHR, a refugee is a person who has fled war, violence, conflict, or persecution, and have had to cross an international border in order to feel safe in another country. So by the end of 2017, there were 25.4 million registered refugees around the world.
So the majority, if you don't know, majority of refugees here in Australia come from these five countries, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. And so we here are part of a mission team that is focusing on youth, on refugee youth. And it's interesting that a lot of the youth that we meet with actually come from those five countries, in particular Afghanistan, Iran and Syria. We want to take a few moments just to explain to you why we're working with refugee youth and what we're trying to do, how we're trying to reach them for Christ. We read in the scriptures God's heart, the Father's heart for people of all nations to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the heart that we see. And so we want to make sure that we are in line with God's heart. And we keep reading out his word, and we keep praying and asking that we would know God, and we would know his heart, and that we would be serving his gospel, his mission, his kingdom, to bring people of many nations to know Jesus. And that's particularly through the refugees. Now, as we work amongst refugees, we do this. In Summit Youth, there's lots of opportunities to engage with refugees.
We try and engage with as many refugees as possible. So we run lots of different activities in order to do that. So here I am with some girls from Afghanistan. They're sisters, actually. They've been here for 3 years. Actually, the one on your right is 27, but she's doing year 12. And her sister is 22. And that's not uncommon for refugee youth as well. Not all of our youth are that age, but it's not uncommon. So we help them with the felt needs like driving. Have we got another picture there?
Yeah, this is me with Ahmad, who's a Syrian refugee. He's about 17 years old. He's just started school in year 11. He was at an English intensive school, and he is very keen to get his license. He likes to drive fast, which is a bit scary sometimes, but we're working on that. But yeah, he's a great kid, and so I spend time with him driving. So. Yeah.
So some of the other ways we help them is with their English, with their homework, and also with their driving. We also engage with the youth through camps. So we have these trauma healing camps, and the This is a great program that actually the American Bible Society have put together for countries that have a lot of refugees or have been through a lot of difficulties. So this program teaches people the basic counselling tools to work through trauma, as well as along the way the story of God who understands suffering. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. We take them to Lithgow. One of our supporting churches is in Lithgow, and one of the families own a farm, so we go and visit the farm, and we just, the kids put up the tents, and we're there for two or three nights teaching them about how to deal with trauma. So there's a lot of games, interactive games, and it's very age appropriate. So that's a really great way for the youth to, often they don't know each other, so they come here and they connect with people who've been through similar situations, and they really start to build community there at the camp. And then after the camps, we usually do fun days. So in the school holidays, we try and take them around Sydney, because often they haven't been to different places. And again, this is a way for them to connect and feel safe and have fun together. So we've been to Manly on the ferry and Luna Park and Blue Mountains and all that kind of thing. And then also we play sport. So Auburn Park is an amazing park. I love this park because there are just people from so many different cultures that come down as the afternoon progresses into the evening. And so we bring our refugee youth here. We play every Wednesday afternoon some basketball and some football. And then also because people know that we're there, we get more and more of the youth. They just come and join in. But we have afternoon tea together and we share a Bible story with them there. So all these activities are there in order for them to feel like they're part of a community and to get to know each other, feel accepted, belong and safe.
Yeah, so these activities are really important just to help us engage and build trust. But we're not just doing that, we want to sow as well. We want to sow the Word of God into their lives. And so we're looking always for opportunities to share Jesus with them at whatever we do. So when we're at the park, there's Lara in character, telling a story about Jesus from the Gospel. Every time we meet, we have afternoon tea, we tell a story, and then we ask them some simple questions. They're called discovery Bible study questions that engage and help them engage with the story and understand who Jesus is and what he's about. So we do that. We seek to sow the Word of God widely as possible. So we're trying to meet people, as many people as possible, and that's one of the reasons why we're in Auburn Park, because we often get other refugee kids joining in with us and sitting in and listening to the story. And so we hang out at the park, and even when we're driving, we're looking for opportunities, usually on a straight road, to bring up a story. I was driving with Ahmad the other day, and we were driving past a river, and I started talking about fishing, because the story at the park was about fishing, Jesus calling disciples to be fishers of men, and so I shared that story with him. And Lara's very good at doing that as well, just bringing up a story as we drive. So we're trying to sow the Word of God in these refugees' lives. We also want to grow them as disciples. Our prayer, and we'd love you to join us in this, that these refugee youth would come to know Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And so we're seeking for opportunities to grow these refugee as disciples of Christ, as disciple makers. And we do that again with discovery Bible studies, but within in groups, those who are really interested and engaged and want to learn more. So here's Lara with a number of the girls, refugee girls, who are who are interested in reading God's Word and understanding it for themselves. And Lara does that every week with a group of girls. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So as they become more interested, we want to try and gather them with other Christians so they can see what it's like to be in a Christian environment. We do that because we want them to grow in their knowledge of God and in faith and obedience. So what we've started to do is partner with the youth group from our church. And once a month, the youth group have now decided to join us in the park and they play sport with us. And then Another amazing part of Auburn Park is that the community centre is right in the park. So when we finished our sport and our storytelling, then we walked to the community centre with the youth from the church, and we have dinner together, and then they run their youth group there. So it's actually a lovely way for them to get to know more Christians who are around a similar age. And a lot of the people from their youth group are from other countries anyway, so that's quite helpful. But because the youth are from collectivist communities, societies, we don't want to just reach the youth or the kids. We want to reach their families. So what we seek to do is to, through visitation, we go and get to know some of the parents. But also once a month, our small church meets in a park. And so we invite all the families to come along as well. And we have a picnic in the park. Again, we act out a Bible story. We ask them the Discovery Bible Study questions. We ask the families if there's anything that they're thankful for or that they've found challenging or that we can pray for their families. And so it's just a lovely way to get to know the whole family as well.
Yeah, so ultimately, what we're trying to do, our goal is to call refugee youth into the kingdom, but as disciple makers, we want to multiply ourselves. So Lara and I, there's only two of us. We're building a team of other Christian leaders around us, but the most effective disciple maker is someone from the culture, from the background that you're trying to reach. And so we long to see refugee youth come to know Christ and to take hold of his word and want to share it with others. Want to do what we do with them, with other refugee youth. That's the best way, the most effective way. Just want to finish by telling you a little, sharing with you one individual. This is Salim at the front, Izu and Emmanuel also. But Salim in particular, he's 16, he just got his L's. I'm driving with him as well. He's only done 1 hour. I was supposed to go out with him this afternoon, but I'm thinking that with the weather, I might not. Anyway, Salim is from Syria. His family fled when ISIS invaded his town, and they walked out of Syria into Jordan, I think, or Lebanon. And so he's been through a lot. He's 16 years old, and he's seen an awful lot. He's from a Syrian Orthodox background, so he knows of Christ. He's still working out how to live that out. But Salim is very interested in what we're doing. He comes to everything we do. He wants to help. He started coming along to the kids' club that Lara and I run on a Friday. He comes to church with us when we go. He's really interested in gays, and so we're hoping, praying, that Salim's and others like him will take hold of the gospel and want to then take it to his fellow Syrian refugees. So that's a little snapshot of one of our keen youth. We'd really value your continued support, both prayerfully, financially, so that we can continue to work amongst these refugee youth and share Jesus with them. We'd value your prayers. We're trying to build a team, as I mentioned, of other people to help us, volunteers, and even perhaps some other paid workers or apprentices who can come and join us and reach more and more refugees, because there's thousands of them in Sydney. There are thousands of them. And they've come to us from countries where the gospel isn't available. They've come to us, and it's a great opportunity. So thank you so much for your prayers and your support.
Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Lara. Please stay behind and have a chat with the two of them and their family as well, kids, and hear more of their work. And please continue to pray for them, and they'll support them. I want to invite Diane up now to lead us in prayer, unless Tina, you're...
The Lord be with you.
And also with you, Diane.
Let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us by your mighty power and grant that we may fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but lead and govern us in all things, that we may always do what is righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We ask, loving Father, for healing around the world. We pray that the access to the coronavirus vaccine can be smooth and made available readily to all people. We praise you for giving those who have developed the vaccine the skill and perseverance to work so hard to create it. We ask that in those places where conflict is rife, knowledge of you is made available through your servants in those regions. Strengthen and uphold them as they face the danger of living as Christians in a place where this puts them in danger of losing their freedom or even their lives. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts and talents you have provided us to do your work. We thank you for those who serve you in the mission fields. We ask for your blessings, power, and strength, and to continue to provide all their needs as they serve you in so many places. We especially thank you for the Blairs working with refugees in Western Sydney with Summit. We pray that you will bless the work they do with so many youth, as well as sharing the gospel with people who may have faced so much trauma in the country they have been forced to leave. We sincerely ask that people like Salim and those others who hear your word will come to understand the gift of your grace and forgiveness and the new life they are being offered through trusting you. We also ask you to bless those who work in hospital chaplaincy. Bless the conversations they have with those who are sick or dying, and open the hearts of these people to come to know you in their time of need. Look in mercy, Lord, on those whose lives and possessions are threatened by flood. Provide for their need and heal our land. Protect those travelling during this time, and also those SES workers, firefighters and police who are working so hard to protect and rescue those being threatened during this wild weather. We are so grateful for the development of a vaccine, and we pray for patience as it is being rolled out across Australia. We ask that it will live up to its promise and will protect us all from this dreadful virus. We have been blessed living here in Australia, where its spread has become so well controlled compared to so many other countries. We thank you for this and for the beautiful country we live in. We pray for our leaders and our medical staff who are faced with the job of delivering this vaccine, and we pray, Lord, that this will be done equitably. Gracious God, we are thankful for your provision for us here at St Andrews, and we ask for your continued blessings to us. Continue, we pray, to protect our congregation and grow us further in our knowledge and understanding of you. Fix our hearts on you, where true joy is to be found, and grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Continue to provide healing, strength and courage to those here who have been unwell. For Lynn Clark, Brian Cave, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock and Max Schweitzer, and any others fighting back from illness. God, our refuge, you alone remain our sure hope and defence. We place these people in your hands and keep them in our prayers, confident that nothing can separate us from you. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the zeal to follow Christ. Father, help us to be like Christ your Son, who loved the world and died for our salvation. Inspire us by his love, guide us by his example, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Just quickly, some announcements that are coming up. Next Sunday, we welcome both Reverend Emily Carpenter to come and speak to us about their work in hospital chaplaincy and our Easter services. Now, I'm not too sure if I've got Good Friday's time right or not. But 9:30 and 9:30 on Easter Sunday, that's in a couple of weeks' time. It's come around very quickly for us there. Please draw your attention to the bulletins, which you've all been emailed. Welcome to our incoming parish council and wardens. They're the same as last year, and so we pray and thank them for being willing to be on that for another year that's coming up for us. Are there any other announcements? Tina? Oh, as you leave today, if you've not already picked up the latest Southern Cross magazine, that brings us up to speed also with the work that's going on in our diocese. And be mindful, this Friday is our Archbishop's farewell, and you can access that on Friday via live stream to say farewell.
Asking you to don your mask again. We're about to sing our final song. And what a wonderful song it is to remind us what we're living for in this terrible world that seems to be going awry and not speaking the truth, not knowing the truth, as we've heard today. We're going to please stand and join in the song with the musos, Live for the Kingdom. Hear me if I take this off. I think that last song summed up everything from the teaching. And I think it's a great blessing. I was just thinking maybe I should cut it out and stick it up on my wall. Everything there to remain faithful. And we know that the world is not talking about the truth. So I think we need that encouragement day by day. As we close this service, I'd like to pray. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words, and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, everybody.